Luke chapter 8 this morning. I'm going to try to bring you a message from verse 16. I hope to end up in verse 21. Luke chapter 8, verse 16, down through verse 21. And I'm taking the title for the message found in verse 18. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. Take heed how you hear. This same parable that's recorded in Mark chapter 4, verse 24, it's recorded there. Take heed what you hear. Take heed how you hear. And take heed what you hear. Both are vitally important to the salvation that we enjoy in Christ Jesus. I don't want to hear anything that is false. Do you? I don't want to hear any false or fake news about the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to hear that which is true to God, that which is honoring to God, that which is found in the Word of God. You see, it is only the truth that will set us free. Take heed how you hear, and take heed what you hear. This phrase here, take heed, in the original is one word. And it means behold. It means beware. It means to pay close attention to what you hear and pay close attention to how you hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me go back by way of introduction. The Lord had been giving the meaning of the parable unto His disciples. Unto them it was given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, while others remained in the dark. Notice, if you will, verse 9 and 10 in Luke chapter 8. His disciples ask Him, saying, what might this parable be? And He gives them the meaning. Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. That's the sovereign revelation of God. But unto others, all they see is just words. That seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. The seed here is the Word of God. The Lord had given to them the light of the knowledge of the gospel of Christ, that the power of God unto salvation. These were true believers, as described in verse 15 in Luke 8, verse 15. Those good ground hearers who had the light turned on, who had the work of God done in their heart, that they might receive the Word. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest, which have heard, in an honest good heart, and have heard the Word, keep it, and bring forth fruit, and they do so with long suffering. They do so with patience. The good ground hearer of the Word, having received the Word, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit unto the glory of God. You remember the Lord said, without Me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Now I want to begin with verse 16. And here's my first point. The Lord instructs these apostles and all believers to hold forth the light of the gospel. And we do that by holding forth the word of truth, by holding forth the gospel. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel, but puts it under his bed, but he sets it on the candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light of the gospel. Now the Lord instructs them to hold forth the light of the gospel by preaching the gospel. That's how we hold forth the light. By preaching Christ, by lifting up the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, He instructed the church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The Lord uses a very straightforward and plain illustration. When you light a candle, and we've all done that, haven't we? We've all had put a match to a candle to light it, and you do so to get light, to get light. But when you do that for the purpose of lighting a room to help yourself see things, you don't put that candle under a bucket, do you? Or under the bed, you hold it forth, that you might see. That's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us to do with the word of truth. We're to hold it forth. to hold it up. Now, what is the light of the gospel? What is the light of the gospel? Or maybe I should ask it this way. Who is the light of the gospel? I found this scripture in Malachi 4, verse 2. He said, But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, Son of Righteousness arise with healing in His wings. The Lord Jesus Christ, He is that Son of Righteousness. He is the Son of God. He is God the Son. But He is our light. Now you look out on a clear, bright day and that sunshine is so brilliant and so bright. You know that sunshine has in it life, light, and power. You can't grow anything without sunlight. You have to have light. And then that light is a power of life. And all that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of Righteousness. The Lord Jesus Christ is all the light we need and all the light there is to enlighten us. And that's what He does. He commands the light of the gospel to shine in our darkened heart that we might see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. The light of the gospel reveals the truth of the gospel, doesn't it? Turn over to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. The light of the gospel reveals the truth of the gospel. The light of the word, the light of the gospel. John chapter 8 verse 12. Our Lord said, I am the light of this world. You see, everything else in this world is darkness. The Lord is the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. He is our life. He that hath the Son hath life. He is our light in this dark world. In this same chapter, John chapter 8, look at verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth that will set you free. Verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. He has come to give us life, and He does so by giving us light. Light. Now find 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Christ is that light. He's the light of the Word. He's the light of the Gospel. And He's the light of every believer's life. 1 John chapter 1. Now, 1 John chapter 1. Look at verse 5. This then is a message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light. Now, who is Christ? He's light. I am the light of the world. God is light. The Lord Jesus Christ is our almighty God and Savior, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, that is, believing the light, looking to the light, Christ, as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and the truth is not in us. You see, the light of the gospel reveals unto us what we are. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Those that have been given the light and life and power of God in the gospel have the privilege to hold forth the true light of the gospel, that is to preach the gospel to others. You see, God had translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And we're to hold forth the light of the gospel. The Lord is describing to His church and to us what is involved in preaching the gospel of Christ. It is to hold Him forth. It is to lift Him up. It is to boldly preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you take your Bible and hold your place there and find the book of Philippians first, Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. How do we hold forth this like? Look what he says here. Philippians chapter 2. Verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and the do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights. You see, Christ in you is a hope of glory. You shine as lights. He's describing believers. Now watch verse 16. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Holding forth the word of life. That's how you shine forth. So I have not run in vain, neither have I labored in vain. Now don't turn to this one because I read it earlier. But over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, that you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief, but you are children of the light and children of the day. We are not in darkness of ignorance and blindness anymore. God has enlightened us to the truth of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is all of salvation. It's by His grace, and we hold forth that message as it's found here in the Word of God. We hold it forth. We lift it up. We don't hide it. We don't put it under a bushel and say, now, we're going to tell this part and not reveal that part. The Lord has ordained the preaching of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as a means to call out His sheep and to quicken His sheep. He said, by the foolishness of preaching, I'll call out my people. And the Apostle Paul wrote this, 1 Corinthians 9:16. Don't turn them. Let me just read it to you. He says, woe is unto me if I don't hold forth the light. In other words, he said, woe unto me if I do not preach the gospel. If I do not hold forth the light of the gospel in Christ. Now, I take that personal. And I hope you take it personally too as a believer. Woe is unto me if I do not preach the gospel. Woe is unto me. If I do not preach the gospel, but woe is unto you if I do preach the gospel and you won't hear it. Woe is unto you. Now I must preach the gospel and I pray that God give you ears to hear it, but I can't make you hear it. It is both a great privilege to hear the gospel and to believe the gospel and then to tell others about how God saved sinners. Now we have a very good illustration of that found right here in Luke chapter 8. Turn one page. You remember the wild Gadarene that was in that cemetery? He was wild and no one could tame him. He was running naked and wild and demon possessed and out of his mind. And the Lord Jesus Christ crossed his path and put him in his right mind, cast out those demons, and they found this man sitting at the Lord's feet, clothed and in his right mind. Luke chapter 8, look at verse 38. Luke 8:38. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him, but the Lord sent him away saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. Now what's he saying? Hold forth the light. Hold forth the light. And notice, tell how great things God had done for you. Read on. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things the Lord Jesus had done for him. Now, he didn't go around saying what I've done for him. No, it's what he has done for us. You see, a declaration of the gospel is not what you must do. It's what he has done for us by his grace and by his sacrifice. Now, look back at the text again. Look at verse 17. That they may enter in, that they that enter in may see the light. Verse 17, Luke 8. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. So what's he saying right here? Those secret things and the mysteries of the gospel that are hidden shall be known and revealed by the preaching of the gospel through the power of God the Holy Spirit. This is what I call housetop preaching. Housetop preaching. What are you talking about? Turn to Matthew chapter 10. We often see people in the community, different times, if they want to make some kind of a statement, sometimes the principal in a school, if the students do certain things, he'll give them a challenge. And he said, "Well, I'll go up on the rooftop and tell everybody how great things that my students have done." Well, look what it says here in Matthew 10, verse 26. Matthew 10, verse 26. "Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be made known. Now what I tell you in secret, what I tell you in darkness, speak ye in the light. And what you hear in the ear, you preach that on the housetop." You see that? "Fear not them which are killed the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." We are to preach the gospel publicly, boldly, always, and never compromise the truth. Preach it on the housetop. Don't cover it up. Hold forth the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Gospel preachers are not to hold back any truth. We are to declare all the counsel of God in salvation. What is all the counsel of God in salvation? Christ and Him crucified. The gospel preached dispels darkness and ignorance when it's blessed of God to your heart. It'll deliver you from darkness. It'll deliver you from ignorance. Now, what is it to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I've given this to you many times. Four things are involved. I'm going to go through this quite quickly because you're familiar with it. What is it to preach the gospel? Paul said, "Woe is unto me if I don't." What is it then to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Number one is to tell the truth about God, who He is. God is not who we think He is. He's who He is as He's revealed in this book. What is the central attribute of God? What is the central character of God? God is absolutely holy, holy, holy in all things. God is love, but not apart from His holiness. His love is holy love. God is merciful, but not apart from His holy mercy. Mercy must be in harmony with God's holy justice. Tell the truth about God in His holiness. Tell truth about God in His sovereign rule and reign. He rules in creation, providence, and in salvation. It's to tell the truth about God. That's what it is to preach the gospel. Secondly, it's to tell the truth about you. It's to tell the truth about man. What would you say is a central character attribute of the fallen flesh? What we are before God. We read it a moment ago in 1 John. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. God is holy and we're just opposite. We are totally sinful before God. Matter of fact, He said there is none righteous, no, not one. All of our righteousnesses before God are as filthy rags. Man in his best state is altogether vanity. To tell the truth about God, to tell the truth about man, sinful. What is it to preach the gospel? Thirdly, it's to tell the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Who is this one from Nazareth? He said, "When you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I and my Father, we are one." It's to tell the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is God, our Savior. Why did He come? We declare who He is, God manifest in the flesh. We declare why He came. Why did He come? Did He come to try to save some people? Or did He come to save His people from their sin? The Scriptures teach us that the Lord Jesus Christ, He came to redeem us from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. We declare who He is. We declare what He accomplished. He accomplished the putting away of our sin, the sin of God's people, by His own blood, by Himself. He purged our sin. And we tell where He is now. Where is He now? If He's dead in a grave in Jerusalem, we're in big trouble. If there be no resurrection, we have no salvation and no forgiveness of sin. Where is the Lord Jesus Christ right now? When He by Himself purged our sin, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty in the heavenlies in glory. He's seated on the throne of glory. Fourthly, what is it to preach the gospel of God? To hold forth the light, to hold forth the truth of who God is, who man is, who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and fourthly, is to tell the truth about salvation. Is salvation something that you accomplish? Is salvation something that you've earned? Is salvation something you do for God? Or is salvation something God does for you? Well, we know the truth of this book, don't we? Salvation by the sovereign grace of God. Salvation is of the Lord from beginning in election to glorification and all in between. Salvation is totally of the Lord. It's by His grace. And you know what else? It's in Him. Salvation's in Him, in Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Now, look back to the text again. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. So we hold forth the light, don't we? That's what we try to do here. That's what Brother Nybert tried to do in Lexington. He does a much better job than I do. He holds forth that light on a better candlestick than I do. But I tell you what, it's the same light. It's the same gospel. It's the same Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, look at verse 18. Now, you take heed. Now, you pay attention to what you hear. You pay attention to how you hear. Take heed, therefore, how you hear this gospel of God concerning the light of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark says, take heed what you hear, and that's very important. You don't want to hear anything but the truth, do you? It's the truth that sets us free. But let us also take heed how we hear. When we hear or read the Word of God, let us do so with eagerness. Let us do so with faith. Let us do so with reverence. Let us do for with prayer. Let us do so as to learn of Christ. He said, take My yoke upon you and learn of Me. So, five things I've got written down about how to hear the Word of God. Take heed, therefore, how you hear. First of all, let's hear the Word of God with eagerness. Eagerness. Did you come here this morning with eagerness in your heart? Wanting to hear a word from God? Take heed how you hear. Let us do so with eagerness. Now, I remember what Cornelius said to Peter. I read that last week. Remember when Peter was sent to Cornelius to hold forth the light, to preach the gospel? Cornelius said, we are all here before God to hear all things commanded thee of God. He was eager to hear, wasn't he? He came to the table hungry. Hungry. When you come to the table and you're full, your appetite's gone, you don't eat much. But when you come hungry, you sit down and you just gobble it up, don't you? That's the way we ought to hear the Word. Come with an appetite. Come with eagerness. And then secondly, let us do so with faith. Faith, believing God. We receive this Word not as it is the Word of men, but as it is the Word of truth that effectually worketh in you that believe. That's 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Let us hear the word in faith, believing God. We can do right by believing Him. We can never do wrong by believing the Word of God. Let us hear it with eagerness. Let us do so with faith. And let us hear the Word of God with reverence. Reverence. Reverence of the Word. Holy and reverent is His name. Let us hear the Word with reverence and devotion. He sent redemption unto His people. He commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverent is His name. His Word is holy and reverent too. We should always hear the Word of God, read the Word of God with devotion and with reverence and with worship. Here's the fourth thing. Let us hear the Word of God with a prayerful heart. Asking the Lord, Lord, show me Christ. Show me the gospel. I don't want to just read words. I don't want to just learn facts about God and about Jewish history. I want to read this book and see in the book revealed the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer for us, Lord, show me Christ. Show me the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And let us do so with the desire to feed upon Him. Let us desire the sincere milk of the Word that we might grow thereby. I'm to feed the flock of God with the Word of truth. That's what I do every day. Every day I come over here when I study, and I study God's Word, and I prepare messages to feed you. And as He feeds me, I write these things down. And I trust that He'll enable me to hold forth the light and to feed you with the Word of truth. A steady diet of dust, saith the Lord. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is called the bread of life. He's not only the light of the world, He's the bread that the believer desires to feed upon. Now, here's the last thing I want to bring out. In verse 19 down through verse 21, we learn who the real family of God really are. Verse 19, then came to him his mother, this talking about Mary, that's the virgin that gave birth to the Lord Jesus, conceived of God, and the brethren, some of his relatives of Joseph and Mary, and they could not come to him because of the press, because the crowd, and it was told him by a certain which said, thy mother and thy brother, and they stand without desiring to see thee. Now look at verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these. Now he's pointing to this whole big crowd. He said, this crowd here, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the Word of God. Take heed how you hear. That hear the Word of God and do it. Do it. That is, they believe it. Here we learn who the family of God really, really, and truly are. The Lord describes His true family as sons of God. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. Turn over here to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Behold, what manner of love God hath bestowed upon us that we should be called sons of God. Ephesians chapter 2, look at verse 19. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners. Now that's us by nature. Strangers from the covenants of grace and the promises of God. Foreigners to the love of God, the mercy of God. But now, fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophet Jesus Christ Himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple unto the Lord, in whom ye also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Believers are of the household of God, made so, adopted by His love, made so by His grace. Now, they hear the Word of God because God prepared their heart. It goes back to what it said there about the hearer that had that seed sown in the ground of his heart, prepared by the Lord. They hear the Word of God, and then they obey the Word of God. That is, they do the will of God. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Turn to John chapter 6. What's involved in doing the will of God? Let's see if we can find out. Those that hear the Word of God and receive it and believe it and obey it. What's involved in that? John chapter 6, look at verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. It's coming to the Lord Jesus Christ by saving faith. Verse 35, the Lord said unto them, John 6, 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that you have also seen me, and you believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Now read on. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. Raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me. Here it is. That everyone which seeth the Son, how do we see him? With eyes of faith, looking unto the Lord Jesus, and believe on him, may have everlasting life. How do you believe on him? By faith are you saved through grace. By grace are you saved through faith, brethren. That not of yourself, it's a gift of God. And I'll raise him up at the last day. Now turn to one more scripture. Back one page, John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Take heed how you hear. Take heed what you hear. And when you hear the word sown in your heart by the power of God the Holy Spirit, you know what happened? We come to the Lord Jesus Christ in saving faith, and we rest in Him. May the Lord be pleased to make us willing in the day of His power to rest in Him. You see, we believe the gospel only according to the working of His mighty power. These have heard the word of God. He's opened our ear, opened our heart, given us life, and He's made us willing to bow to the Lord Jesus Christ. We bow to His Lordship. We bow to His sovereignty. We say amen to the way of salvation in Christ by His grace and by His will.